Welcome to the Sales Development Podcast, your go-to resource for all things pipeline and revenue production in the tech sales world. Technology marketing, sales development, sales, and revenue operations have combined to create the go-to market engine fueling the success of SaaS startups and established companies alike. Each week, the Sales Development Podcast dives deeply into the strategies, tactics, people, processes, and technology that fuels the revenue machine. The Sales Development Podcast is brought to you by 10bound. Get more free resources, insights, and intelligence today at 10bound.com. And be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Sales Development Podcast. I am very honored and blessed to have my next guest on the show, Sally Duby, Chief Sales Officer at The Bridge Group, author, speaker, and overall Renaissance woman with such an amazing, amazing background joining us today on the podcast. Sally, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, David. It's wonderful to be here. And I love what you've done, you know, and how you so elevated the world and brought attention to the SDR world over the years. So thanks for doing that.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Well, I was just fishing for compliments. So thank you for doing that.
It worked.
Oh my gosh. And this is, you know, the Bridge Group is such an inspiration for our world and the work that you do. I initially saw you speak at a sales hacker conference. It feels like a million years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And that's where I got to know you, worked with the Bridge Group and read all the books behind you, including your new one. And it's just been such an inspiration. So tell us, if people, for the five people that listen out there that have never heard of the Bridge Group and what you do, how did you get into this? And what have you been doing, you know, with the Bridge Group?
Yeah, so the Bridge Group has been around for a while. We've been around since 1998. And what we started out doing back then is really a lot of still what we're doing. Our main focus is how do we help and leverage SDR teams, sales teams, and we added customer success teams recently to that. So, you know, we do a lot of data and research, as you know, around those teams and publish that. But we do a lot of consulting, and it's all to raise and be able the performance level of all these teams. And so we're still doing that today. And I met Trish years ago when we were actually at competing consulting companies. And I got a phone call from a dear friend who was in Boston at the time saying, "Hey, why didn't you tell me you guys opened up a Boston office?" I'm like, "Well, because we didn't." And he's like, "Well, no, Trish Bertuzzi just left here and said, we're the phone works of the East Coast." And I was like, "Huh, let me call up Trish." And I called Trish and she was like, "Oh my God, I've been wanting to talk to you." And, you know, fast forward about, that was probably about 8 or 9 years later, I was out searching for what I was going to do next in my career. And Trish reached out and said, "We need to work together." And I said, "Okay, let's do this."
Here we go. And so there's these companies out there that from the top of the funnel, you know, all the way through to having a customer, they've got these teams working on these problems, and then they have, you know, the problems come up over and over again. And after a while, you identified those from your experience in working, you know, as one of those people. And then you were doing consulting with PhoneWorks. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then you combined forces. And so now these companies come to the Bridge Group and they say, what? What do they say to you? What help do they need?
Yeah. So in the realm of, you know, if we stick to the SDR world, in the realm of, hey, we need more pipeline, we're not getting the conversions that we thought we should, to, you know, things seem to be totally broken or dysfunctional, and we need to figure out how to fix it. Because obviously pipeline is so critical. And if we look at what's happened since 2023, even late 2022, is, you know, sales cycles have drastically increased. Win rates are way down. We're going to be publishing our new AE metrics report here, hopefully next month. And early releases, win rates have dropped significantly, which we've all known, right? There's more people involved in a sales cycle. Budgets have decreased. So average deal sizes have fallen. So how do we make this up? Because companies aren't cutting quotas or their revenue expectations. So what is really critical is what you typically hear is that a sales rep needs 3 times their quota in pipeline. In today's world, what they really need is more like 5 to 7 times pipeline. And so, you know, we're struggling to get to 3. How do we even get to 5 to 7? And that's really what we need to be focused on in building pipeline. Whether you're an AE, an SDR, marketing teams, we're all in this together to build pipeline. And there are definitely ways to do it much better than what we've been doing.
Yeah. And, you know, is it usually established companies because they know that they have a good product and it works well and they've got, you know, case studies and stuff like that? Because it seems like if you were working with a really early stage company, they wouldn't even really know if they have product market fit, but they just hired 10 SDRs, you know?
Right, right. So yeah, it's usually after you've established product market fit. So for some companies, that could be, you know, maybe $1 or $2 million in revenue. Others, maybe it's taken a little bit longer. Certainly not pre-revenue companies, right? Although there's something to be said with putting in right processes. Messaging as good as what you think you have at the time and testing that. Even when you're trying to establish, do we have product market fit, to get consistent feedback when everybody's operating the same way. If you have even just 2 SDRs, but they're doing different processes, they're doing different messaging, it's really hard to know if something's working or if it's not working, why is it not working? Is it because of the rep? Is it because of the process? Is it because of their messaging? Where again, if you can have that standardization, then you can measure against certain things to help you figure out what you need to change.
Yeah.
And how to go forward.
That's the beautiful thing about consulting is that if you're in the company, you're so in the weeds all the time. It's like, and if you're doing that sort of higher level meta work, I guess, if you will, then you feel like you're slacking off for some reason. And then the other thing is, you can be saying the same thing for like 5 years at your company, but suddenly Sally comes in and goes, you should do this and that. And the boss is like, yeah, let's do that. Right? As somebody who's a fresh, you know, fresh face.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly true. And, you know, I would say for leaders out there, the one thing that, you know, I really struggle with a lot is for some reason, in particular in tech, any kind of leader, whether you're an SDR leader, whether you're a sales leader, a sales ops leader, for some reason, we think we shouldn't say, you know what, we'd like to bring in some outside objective help. That everybody takes that is, well, that's why they hired me, is that I'm supposed to know this. But the reality is, as you were just saying, we get so in the weeds, and sometimes we're so attached to something that we put in place that we can't see our way out and we can't be objective. And so you bring in that independent objective party that makes some tweaks. They don't even necessarily have to be wholesale, big, you know, overchanges here, but just make some tweaks, add some best practices, changes things a little bit. And now the team is just off and running. And so I see so many teams over this last year, you know, I just talked to a guy today when I was doing my cold calling. I still do cold calling and prospecting as chief sales officer. So a lot of this is from my own work, you know, and my own experience as well in doing this and staying current. Is they like, oh, wow, I wish we would have talked 2 months ago because we had to get rid of our SDR team because we didn't know what to do and it wasn't working. You know, rather than do that, call in some people that can help. Obviously, we'd love to be called in, but there's a lot like you, David, that can be called in. It's just go get some objective feedback. You know, that can come in and give you a path forward.
Do you ever feel like a business therapist?
All the time. Actually, I've been called a business Yoda.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, right?
Yeah. Wow. You know, because again, when you're not in the weeds, and I know this from, I was consulting and then I spent 3 years at Skype, you know, building a sales team and running a sales team at Skype. And then I went back to consulting. And in those 3 years at Skype was a lot of great experience, but I was so focused just on what I was doing there. I couldn't rise above the noise of what was going on in the company to stay up to speed as to what's going on, what were the best practices, you know, how could I apply them to our market, our product set, our buyers. And, you know, it wasn't until I got back out in consulting again that it was like, oh my God, you know, I miss so much. And, you know, that's just what happens when you get in. But, you know, into a company is you're very focused on what's going on there, which you should be. But there is a lot of value in talking to people that have seen hundreds of different sales operations or SDR operations. Right. And can see how different pieces and puzzles fit based on, you know, again, your market, your ACV, your buyers, you know, that whole thing. And that's what I think is really helpful and why I wrote the book is because we see so many teams that aren't prospecting properly. I always say this is not rocket science. And it's not about how many tools you have in a tech stack. It's about doing the right thing. And the messaging is like one of the most critical pieces, along with the use of phone today. Those organizations and those reps that are using the phone as much or more than email are the ones that are seeing success.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I want to dive in on that. There's so many things. One is, just going really quickly to the Bridge Group, do you ever work with huge companies that have
yes.
like a little fiefdom, you know, their own little kingdom somewhere? And
yeah,
they're like,
that have like 300 people. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So their little fiefdom is the size of a usual company.
Company, right.
300 people. How is that experience?
You know, sometimes that's more challenging because trying to affect change in a large company is sometimes really difficult to do. There's so many layers. Like even, you know, like we can go into a company, a large company and say, okay, you know, what are your metrics and your conversions? And a lot of them don't know. They'll give you guesstimates, but they can't point to any real reports and any data to back that up. And some of the reason is because they can't get the changes that they need, even if it's just additional fields added or drop downs added so that you can start collecting the data that you need, because the Salesforce admins or whoever it is, or IT who owns it, and a lot of times in big companies are like, yeah, put in a ticket request and oh, you know, it'll probably be a year.
Yeah.
Well, our business, yeah, changes so much in the SDR world in that year, we can't wait that long. And that's ridiculous. And that's where you see a lot more challenges in working with the big companies.
That type of thing. To your point, you know, you might make a slight tweak, a slight change. And these are things that you can affect. And just by making that slight tweak, you can see a greater success, even if you can't, you know, steer the whole Titanic or whatever. You know, you can at least say, okay, try this. And then the last quick question about that is, a lot of these companies, they have lots of people involved in demand gen and marketing and brand, and they're going out to events and they've got the SDRs and then they got the sales reps and the CS. And in a perfect world, things would be aligned. And so at least everybody knew what they were doing, but that's not often the case. And so you, as coming in as a consultant, like how do you see that playing out in reality?
Yeah. So, you know, there is no perfect world, right? And if I wrote a book on the real down low, of what we see happen in companies, people would be flabbergasted and the stock market would probably tank, you know, because you kind of
probably wonder confidential.
How, yeah. You know, it's kind of like, how in the world did this company ever get to, you know, 5 billion or 100 billion or whatever it is? So I think, you know, so that's the thing, is that we don't look at just one particular operation. Whenever we come in and work with a group, if we come in and work with an SDR team, we're not only talking and working with the SDRs and looking at what they're doing, but we're also talking to the sales reps and sales leadership. What are their goals and expectations? How do they see the teams interacting? What do they expect and need from the team? And is it real? Is that a realistic goal? And, you know, make sure that there's in sync, because quite often, you know, even if the team is reporting to sales, we'll find out there's a disconnect between the accounts that the AEs are going after and who the SDRs are prospecting to. This happens with marketing all the time on inbound leads. Marketing is typically, you know, we see companies, we only go after enterprise accounts that are X, Y, and Z and A, B, and C and all this. And then we go look at the inbound leads and they're nowhere near that. Right. And so we talk to marketing, we work with marketing, we analyze all of the marketing data, we analyze, you know, what the SDRs are doing and what the AEs are doing with it from there. Because again, quite often it's not necessarily an SDR problem. It's an AE problem of not knowing how to handle a discovery call and what to do with that call in that meeting once an SDR sets up. So we look at all those components of it and then come up with, I would say, holistic recommendations and what, you know, what did we find and what can you do about it?
Okay. Do you feel any constraint, you know, politically when you make those recommendations? So in other words, you finding these gaps and you're potentially calling people out for not, you know, because they're in the weeds. God love them. You know, they're doing their best, but they didn't know that, you know, these things were disconnected. And so you're coming in. Are you calling those out and saying, okay, here's what we found and it's up to you if you want to fix it or something like that? I mean, I know it's subtle, but how does it work?
Yeah. Well, we do it with a smile. No.
You suck, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we choose our words carefully, but when we do bring up this stuff, it's always backed by data. It's, you know, so we don't want to do it just based on gut feel. So it's backed on data. And kind of one of my favorite stories is we were working with a smaller company and I was brought in originally by the CMO who said, we have a total sales execution problem. They don't know what they're doing. We give them, and the SDR team reported into marketing. There's no problem with our leads. We give them tons of leads. They're great leads. The SDRs do a great job, but sales has not, you know, they don't know what to do with it. So meet the CEO. He says, okay, come in. We want you to work with our sales team. So again, we were brought in to work with sales, but we looked at marketing and SDRs. And, you know, yes, there were definitely things the sales team needed to do better. They needed a set sales process. They needed to improve their demos. They needed to do better on discovery calls. But a lot of their issues were started by the marketing inbound leads that came in. They weren't the right profile of company they wanted to go after. They were driving very low average deal sizes and with accounts that churned really quickly. And when marketing didn't have it, marketing was quoted on number of MQLs. And when those number of MQLs, true MQLs, fell below what marketing needed to make their bonus, they just opened up the floodgates and let everything in. And unfortunately, that was almost a monthly basis. And so it was just horrible stuff coming in. And we had the data to show that the CMO knew what was going on, but was trying to get rid of the VP of sales. So we kind of got caught in the middle of that. But, you know, it all worked out. So we went in and we did recommendations. We helped the sales team. We helped the SDR team. We did playbooks. We did training. And within the first 3 months of working with them, they had 188% increase in sales. And we were working directly with the CEO, though, because he realized that there was a leadership problem that he had going on between the two. But yeah, so, you know, it does happen.
See, this is going to be the new show, Sally Confidential. Okay. All the names are going to be.
I love that. Thank you.
Tune in here each week.
Yeah, really.
This is the real story.
The real. You know, yes.
Beyond the theory. I mean, this is what really happened. Now, you mentioned something really interesting in your work. It's not the new fancy, you know, necessarily sales tools and technologies, which God love them. They're great.
They are great.
Yeah. I mean, they've made our lives a lot easier. But at the same time, the fundamentals, and especially with the SDRs and the sales reps. And now one of the books, if you're on video or audio, she's got three books, Trish Bertuzzi's The Sales Development Playbook, the Bible. And then Matt Bertuzzi, right, is Lightning Sales Ops, which is, again, like the required reading for our profession. Now the third one, Sales Development Rep Hacks That Work. You've boiled it down to a doable system that this is really taking it back to basics of what's sort of gotten lost, you know, in the SDR world with all the technology, it seems. So how did you come up with this? And, you know, you mentioned phone is something you hardly hear about anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of what we've been doing, the SDR rep hacks that worked before COVID or work even more so now, post-COVID. So, you know, before COVID, a lot of SDR teams relied a lot on email and didn't do much on the phone and social. Fast forward to COVID hits, people aren't in the office, everybody's doing email. And, you know, these individuals are getting nailed from emails. So I talked to a lot of executives during that time, and I had people telling me, I get 200 emails a day from people trying to sell me something. And that doesn't include the emails I get from all the people within my company. So they couldn't possibly get to any of them. So it was just delete, delete, delete if it wasn't from someone that they knew. Then we go to, we've got some great new tools that have come out with cell phone numbers. Cell phone since COVID is now okay to do. Pre-COVID, it was a huge no-no. You never did cell phone. Today, it's totally acceptable. There's a handful that you might run into where it's not. But so it's acceptable. So you got to call people and sell. When I talk to people, and from what our reports are showing, is that most of the meetings are getting set from phone calls, not from email. Email response rates for most companies are hovering for SDRs between even 0.5% to 2% response rate. And oh, by the way, if you're using SalesLoft and Outreach and those tools, they cover that a response rate as an out-of-office email. You know, an unsubscribe gets included in that too. So it's not really a positive response. Whereas on the low end, phone connect rates are 4 to 5%. And if you are doing a lot of phone work and you have a good list and you're doing mobile numbers, you can get between 9 and 13% connect rates. So much better. What's that? 3, 4, 5 times better than an email response rate. And you get that person and you can have that conversation. Now, the challenge becomes, if you're getting those kinds of phone response rates, are you ready to handle that conversation when somebody answers the phone? And that's where we also see a big issue, is that, you know, that's kind of the fear of most SDRs today, is their worst nightmare if somebody actually answers the phone, because they don't know how to comfortably get into that phone call. And it's so critical to be ready and to be prepared.
That's really interesting, because it's the generation that's come up now that are becoming SDRs are 100% text based, and just being able to message back and forth without talking to anybody.
Yeah, that's hard. You've got to have conversational skills. And unfortunately, this generation coming up is losing that because so much is behind a screen, right? And doing text messaging.
The other thing that it seems a challenge for SDRs is that you have to kind of know what you're going to say and, you know, be personalized, quote unquote. And yet that takes time to do. You've got to research the person and find out some information about them. And so it's kind of balancing. I have to do tons of research, but then I at some point have to pick up the phone. And if they answer, say something interesting. It's just like, you know, I would think after a while they're sitting at home. There's nobody around to sort of bolster their spirits. And I could see how, you know, you could just go, let me go check and see what's in the fridge, you know?
I got to go do laundry or walk my dog or, yeah.
But first, they have to get this book and then, what should they do?
So, you know, unless you're working on strategic accounts, named accounts, there are ways that you can personalize at scale, which is what the book is about. And that's by buyer persona. So if you really understand the buyer personas, let's say I'm going after a CISO, Chief Information Security Officer, versus a VP of IT or VP of Architect, right? You've got to know what those different challenges and focus areas are between the CISO and your other buyer personas. And you've got to be able to talk to that, right? And so that's where, you know, you have maybe one style or format of an outbound call opening, but then personalize it based on that role that you're talking to. So you may ask them a different question based on their persona. Right. But you could always start off the call the same, saying, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I know this is a cold call, you know, and if you have 20 seconds, I will tell you why I'm calling and we can decide if it makes sense to continue on or not. And then you need to go into that personalization about the role that you're talking to.
Got it. And so if like a 22-year-old SDR is out there and they don't know any, you know, CISOs with 30 years of experience who started before they were born, I don't know why I'm going to this whole generation thing. I'm just getting old. Sorry, folks. Where can they start in trying to understand their personas? And do they take them out to lunch? Do they go talk to them? I mean, how do they even understand how to enter this world?
So it's a great question. Because I mean, you know, there's a lot of titles out there that when you're coming out of college, you may not know what a chief information security officer is, right? Or that title and role even exists in the world. So I would first see, once you understand, and marketing at your company should help you out and tell you, or sales, who your key buyer personas are. They may have some information for you, but you could also get more. The one place I would start with is if you have that role within your own company, go talk to that person, right? If you have a CISO in your company, go talk to them. Ask them what they do every day. What's important? What's the top things that they are focused on every day? Ask them what would be important if you look at our product, Mr. CISO, you know, what is so important to you that you think would be important to other CISOs out there?
Mm-hmm. And that's where you start.
Mm-hmm. And get it from them. If you don't have that role within your company that you're going to prospect to, I do put in the book some ChatGPT prompts for doing research, that all you have to do is fill in the title and the role at the type of company if you're verticalizing. So ChatGPT is one that is amazing for doing research and helping to learn about your customers. And, you know, you can do it so quickly. So in the past, when we would talk to SDRs, they'd be like, oh, we spend 20 minutes, 25 minutes researching before they ever send an email or pick up the phone. And most of the times they couldn't even articulate what they were looking for and then what they would do if they find it. So ChatGPT can, you know, get this down. You don't want to spend more than 3 minutes, you know, doing research. You need to take action. According to the Bridge Group research, SDRs are having to do 104 activities a day to get close to making their number. That's all activities. That's phone, email, social, video, whatever it is your activities include. So you have to do 104 every day. You can't do 104 activities a day if you are spending 20 minutes doing research every time before you send an email. Okay. Numbers don't add up.
And so ChatGPT can basically mimic a CISO that has 30 years of experience. That's really interesting. So you can kind of prompt them to say, what are some of your main pain points and issues?
Yes.
And get those and then call them.
Yes. And use one of those, you know, or use two of them and say, hey, you know, in talking to other CISOs, they seem to be focused on issue number one, or is issue number two more important for you? Right. And you fill in the blanks, obviously, with those top issues that ChatGPT just came back with, and then let them respond. And they may say, well, it's neither, it's this. You know, and then you got to know, okay, now what do I do with that? Okay, well, tell me more about that. But yeah, sorry.
I was just going to say, so the opportunity here is that 9 times out of 10, the SDRs will be hired by the company and given, you know, a few minutes of training on Salesforce and outreach and stuff like that. And here's a list from Zoom Info and everything's all set. You good? Good. Okay. All right.
Go to it.
You know? Yeah. And so literally they're kind of on their own at some point. And this book gives them sort of a structured guide of where to start. If you're sitting out there and you've not been abandoned, because they'll come and ask you for how many meetings did you set today, right? But
yes. Yes.
But other than that, you're on your own.
Yes. And David, that's the biggest thing that I think I see for teams that are struggling. There's a couple things that all have in common. Number one, they are relying way, way too much on email. Number two, there's no set messaging for them. They're allowed to make up their own sequences and their own messaging every time they do something. Number one, it's a waste of time and waste of brain cells. Number two, there's no naming conventions for sales loft or outreach that have been put in place for the company. So they can't find it when they just did it. So they are recreating the wheel. And this is how many companies we talk to and work with, they have thousands, you know, or hundreds of sequences, and they've got 5 SDRs. How do you find anything, right? Because again, there's no naming convention. You don't even know if it worked because they're not following it. And so, you know, it's a mess. So, and many SDR leaders we talk to, it's always a sure sign when I hear, well, I hire smart people and I allow them to make up their own messaging. They're creative. They're smart. They can figure this out on their own. And it's like, sure sign the team's struggling. Or I hate to say it too, or if they allow marketing to write the messaging. And I was told by a very smart CMO about 8 or 9 years ago that you should never allow marketing to write SDR messaging. They should be involved in helping with the buyer persona and the challenges and what your business value props are, but they should not write SDR messaging. And the reason I was told by the CMO is because marketers are taught how to message on a one-to-many basis, whereas SDRs need to message on one-to-one. Totally different concept and framework as to how to do that. And so you can spot a marketing message a mile away. On Monday, I had 2 LinkedIn messages that were both written by marketing, I came to find out. One was, oh my God, it was like this long. I had to keep scrolling and scrolling through it. And the only reason I did was because this is what I do for a living, right? Is I look at messaging and stuff and then reach out to companies that have horrible messaging. And, really, I do. And then they were offering me a $20 Starbucks gift card to see a demo of their product. And so I sent a message back saying, you know, I'm not interested, but I think you guys really need a lot of help. You know, how is this working for you? And so the guy responded and said, well, marketing wrote this. I'm like, oh, shock. And he said, but you know, he goes, I do get appointments from this. And I said, okay, how many of those moved to anything past that first initial appointment? He goes, well, we just had a phone call about changing this whole thing because none of them moved past. And I said, yeah, you know, if you have to pay somebody to sit through one of your demos, you have way bigger problems.
Oh my God. I feel like that's the ultimate, you know, white flag. You know,
yes. Marketing. We don't know what else to do.
I give up. Just take a $20 gift card.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got to map if you're going to give away something. On the other hand, we had a company last year that did a very successful ABM program to a handful of accounts. And they were going after the VP of IT, I think it was, or maybe it was the CIO at, you know, like 20 accounts. So it was a true ABM process. And they did an iPad with a video message on it and sent the iPad. You're mapping the role and the level of the person to the gift. If you try to send a $20 gift card to a VP or C level, they're more insulted than anything. And it's like, what do I need? What I can go out and buy my own $20 gift card.
Right. Oh,
I don't need to waste an hour of my time for a $20 gift card.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, the evergreen, you know, issue, I guess, that's out there is all of your prospects have problems. They're trying to solve problems. Everybody's got an unlimited number of problems, right? And so you might be able to catch them if you're saying, do you have this problem? Because that's exactly what we do. But if you don't know what those problems are and you don't know anything about the people, then, you know, you go back to just talking about your product, it seems.
Exactly. And people are not looking for a product. They're looking for a solution to a problem. So you don't want to talk about product and features. Again, you want to talk about what their problems or challenges are, or a better way of putting it, especially if you are, you know, doing an outbound call opening is, you know, what are you focused on today? Are you focused on A or B? And those are the challenges, right? But the other thing that I notice on working with companies, when they are, they've got some decent messaging and it's focused around a challenge that that buyer has, the problem becomes is they take one challenge and they just repeat that same challenge over the next 8 or 9 or 10 steps in the sequence, right? And if they don't have that challenge, they're not going to pay any attention to you. But you solve more than one business challenge, right? And so give your prospects a lot of different reasons as to why they want to talk to you. Give them a lot of different challenges that you solve. Every message tells the big story of all those problems that you solve. So every message should be about a different challenge or problem that you solve and the business value that you can bring.
And you can set this up in a Sales Loft outreach type of thing. If you know what the challenges are, you can write the sequence to touch on those. And then is there a way to know which one to talk about when you call? So say the second stage of the sequence goes with the problem. Can you then bring that up and say, okay, now I'm going to call and I'm going to ask about that problem?
Yes. So that's what I typically do in my calling is that I will, in my phone if I'm leaving a message, or if they answer, it will refer back to that last email or social touch that I did. But if they answer the phone, I'm going to give them an option of two, right? So they can pick or choose one or the other, or it's more likely that they may, if one of those is not an issue, then they're going to tell me what the issue is, right? Which is all the better.
Yes. Get them talking. I mean, just the fact, I think that, and this is just going back to the barrier is not feeling awkward with calling a stranger and saying something if they answer. You know, I even remember back in the day, sometimes you'd be calling all day. This is when you actually had to press a button.
And you'd be calling the dial around the rotary dial.
Yeah. Hello, operator. I don't go back that far. Come on. But you'd call all day. And then finally, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and somebody answers. And you're so freaked out that you just hang up because you forgot. You left so many voicemails all day and you forgot what you were even supposed to say because you didn't think anybody would answer. I don't know if they still have that problem, but that's, yeah.
Well, no, I think that a lot of people do totally panic and freeze when they, you know, when somebody answers the phone, and they just are so unnatural in how to get into it that they lose the people right away. And so that's, you know, I'm a big proponent of being prepared. I have talk tracks, I have scripts, I have them all over. And, you know, I may, you know, add a few little things here and there, depending on my mood for the day. But sometimes I stick to them. But it gives me that sense of comfort. And obviously, I've been doing this for a while, I've been around the block a time or two. But I still use them. I still do it. Like, I just created a new CEO sequence, and I have everything, I got all my tracks written out, you know. Number one, that way I know what's working and what's not working because I'm doing the same thing over and the same message over. So once I get enough out there to that CEO sequence, I can start to see, oh, this message is resonating more. This one is totally not. So let me go change this message. But if I make it up each time or change it every time, I got nothing I can repeat because I don't know what's going to work or not.
There's no pattern. So you're running,
no, exactly,
running your own A-B test constantly. And, you know, so you said be prepared, which the Scouts motto, right? Be prepared. Always have everything right there. Run it enough so that you can pick up a pattern. One question I have for you with the calling is a lot of the calls that I get now, it says spam or telemarketer on there, and I can, oh, good, I can make an easy decision. Bing, you know, it's gone. Is there any way for us to, I don't want to say get around that, but I think probably most of those are coming from SDRs or, you know, sales reps.
Some of them are, yes. And I think that's more, you know, when you're calling and there's an 888 number or an 800 number, that's where I see a lot of those calling from. I always have it my own personal mobile number as the number it's calling from, and I haven't seen that be an issue. Now, I don't, you know, I don't work for a large company, so I'm not sure what they're doing on that. But yeah, you know, that is something I think you have to be a little bit challenging, you know, and you have to keep an eye on.
I remember it's been a while since they made those changes where they market as like spam or telemarketer. And I remember we put out a blog post. I'll have to go back and read it because it was a couple of years ago. But it was like, there are some things that you can do if you're at a big company, you know, behind the scenes to alleviate that. But what you're saying is you just use your phone and it says Sally Doobie. So
we use Outreach. And so my number that I have showing up there, I do have as my own cell phone number.
I see. Okay.
I did have it change. What was the one? Local presence. I have experimented with that a couple times. That used to work good probably 4 or 5 years ago. I don't think that that is working so good anymore. I think you may get a lot of those showing up as spam.
kind of know that you're, it's just one thing about those is, and I don't know if this is just me, but sometimes there's some sort of thing going on where your kid is sick or your dog, you know, is at the vet. And one of those calls, and I'm like, yes, you know, this is David Delaney. And they go, oh, hi, this is Bob from Zoom Info. And I'm just like, you mother, you know. So just know out there, you know, that person on the other line is actually a real person that might be having other issues that you don't address. So don't take it personally, right? In sales, you know, don't take it personally. But okay, Sally, where can we pick this up? This is an invaluable resource.
Yeah, you know, it's very short. It's like 40 pages. It's very direct to the point. I don't sugarcoat anything. You know, I didn't spend time on formatting it. I just wanted to get the info out to everybody. Again, we've proven this works over and over again, but you can get it on Amazon. It's Kindle version, paperback version, and it's, again, sales development rep hacks that work. So I'd love to hear from anybody if they buy it, what they thought about it, if it helped them out or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for people with micro attention spans like me. I don't know if there's any other, you know, self-diagnosed ADHD people out there. But I like, you know, it reminds me because I'm a merit badge counselor with the Boy Scouts. And I also have these little merit badge books.
Yes.
And it just, it's all meat and no filler, which is great. So, Sally, thanks for coming on the show. I think, you know, we'll do a follow-up episode after you get some feedback and, you know, people had a chance to read the book. Thanks for coming on the show and best of luck with everything.
Thanks so much, David. It was lots of fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Development Podcast, the only audio forum 100% focused and dedicated to sales development. Please be sure to subscribe to the show on YouTube and take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes. Your support makes our show possible. If you are struggling with your sales development program, contact us at 10bound.com for a no-obligation exploratory call. Again, that's 10bound.com.